This is Matt. I'm the lead pastor at Westminster Baptist Church. Thanks for engaging God's word with us. My prayer for you is that this would be supplemental to your discipleship journey. If we can connect you with a local church or discipleship group, please contact us at info@discoverwbc.com.
In Luke 21:19, Jesus says, "By your endurance, gain your lives." By your endurance, gain your lives. My main point this morning for you is this. We train through the power of God for endurance by discipline, consistency, and grit. You see, sometimes people in your life will tell you that, you know, you don't need to train in health or physical life or emotional life or relational life or sexual life. You don't need to train in those things. You just need to train spiritually. But to those people, what I would say is, man, be careful. Because how dare you take something out of the kingdom of God, out of the realm of God's lordship? You see, God is Lord over all things, not just some things. He's not just Lord over your spiritual component of your life. He's Lord over all of your life, emotionally, relationally, sexually, volitionally. God is Lord over everything in your life. And if this is true, then we're going to give everything to Him and ask Him to help us to find a balance between that perfectionism and that process. Because I know that here on this earth, I'm not perfect. I'm in progress. I'm in the process of progress. I'm going through the process to become what God has called me to be one day. And so if we're in this process towards progress, we're going to do it through discipline, consistency, and grit, because one day we will see Christ face to face and He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And at that time, we will know that we have endured through the test. And what Jesus said in Luke 21:19, "By your endurance, gain your lives," will be true of you. So we give Jesus control. We give Jesus control over our anger. We give Jesus control over our pride. We give Jesus control over our finances, over a porn addiction. We give Jesus control over under or overeating. We're giving Jesus control over every single area of our life. That is discipline, consistency, and grit for the purpose of endurance under the power of Jesus Christ. Because Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says, "For you need endurance, so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what was promised." You see, Luke 21:19, when Jesus says, "By your endurance, gain your lives," it might be actually the best summary of Hebrews and Ezekiel that I've heard. It's almost like Hebrews just broke that down. Like, hey, how are we going to endure through this thing? You're going through so many testings, so many temptings. How are you going to endure through these things? And then Hebrews 12:1, "Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that lies before us." We're going to endure. So how are we going to endure? Because like I said last week, nobody wants you to come in here and somebody come in here and say, hey, it's time for you to go run a marathon. Let's go. Like, we got to train. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We're training, not trying. If we're going to endure, we got to train to endure. If we can't run a marathon right now, maybe we can later. And the marathon of our spiritual life is going to be also reflected in the marathon of our relational life, volitional life, sexual life, emotional life. And so if we're going to run this race that Christ has called us to, we're going to have to put some practical things in place to be able to do this. So I want to break this down with discipline, consistency, and grit to hopefully inspire you to live according to what God's called you to do. Now, for most of us, the truth is, when we look at the end of our life and we ask, what do we want to be known as? We're not going to be known by what we accomplished, but by who we are. The majority of times at funerals and at the very end of someone's life, most people won't say, well, this is some significant thing they did, because to the people you care about the most and to the people that care about you the most, they generally won't care what big thing you did. What they generally care about is who you were to them. Your children don't care about what you accomplished as much as they care about who you are, how you treat them, how you've loved them. And so if this is true, then do we care more about what we accomplish in a moment, or do we care more about who we are consistently? As Craig Groeschel says, he says, "You will be defined long-term by what you do consistently, not what you do occasionally." You see, your kids will most likely gain from the process of your life, not from the product of your life. But we oftentimes want the product, not the process. We want to be something without doing what it takes to become that. And a lot of people, what they'll say is, and this is just an excuse, well, the Holy Spirit's going to do all the work in me and I don't have to do anything. Well, that sounds really spiritual and really great. It's just not biblical. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but Christ in me. You see, it's not that we're not going to work hard. It's just that the hard work we do is by the power of Christ. And so laziness is one of the greatest examples of Christ not working in you. So we're going to work together with the Spirit to do what God's called us to do with the power of the Spirit in us. We are going to work with the Spirit for discipline, consistency, and grit. So discipline, if I could define it out for you, would be this: wisdom and training. Discipline is wisdom and training. I'm going to train, but I'm going to be wise in how I train. So what I'm going to do is, discernment is knowing what is good and what is bad, and wisdom is choosing what is good. And so I'm going to choose what is good, and I'm going to make that my next step. I'm just going to make that my next step. All right. So I know who God is creating me to be. I know what the step is. I'm going to take that step. That's the step of discipline. One step at a time, I'm going to take a step of discipline. As Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful later on. However, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I'm going to take one step, and the Holy Spirit's going to empower me to take that step, but I'm not going to hold the Holy Spirit back. Like in Romans 8, when the Holy Spirit groans with us, just desiring that we would follow after the Holy Spirit, follow after what Christ has for us, I'm going to walk with the Spirit, not against the Spirit. Galatians 5. All right, I'm going to walk with the Spirit, not against the Spirit. So we're working together. I'm not working against. The Holy Spirit's working in, but I'm not being lazy, because Hebrews chapter 5 and 6 tell us not to be lazy. So we're working together with the Holy Spirit to determine the right step and take one step at a time. So your first step in endurance is discipline, because we're not looking at the product, but the process. I'm looking for discipline in my life. Do you have discipline in your life? I tell people this sometimes. If I can look at one area of your life and find something that's not disciplined, then there's probably a lot of other areas in your life that aren't disciplined. Because generally, people who are disciplined will be disciplined in most areas of their lives. And if somebody tells me, well, I just don't need discipline in my life, what I will generally find is they don't have discipline in their spiritual lives either. We have to be very careful here. Because what Christ wants for us is not just discipline in one area of your life, but discipline in all areas of your life, because every area of your life is under the lordship of Christ. So now I'm taking every area of my life and putting it under the lordship of Christ and asking, what's my next step here, Father? Now, here's one critical part to this. Scripture is consistent that when we make a decision in Christ and we stick with that decision. This is a decision of integrity, but it also builds endurance. It builds that character. It builds that integrity. It's a moment of integrity and a lifetime of integrity when you say, I know what is good and I'm going to go with what is good. That doesn't mean that you don't accept feedback. It doesn't mean sometimes you're going to have to change some things up a little bit. But it does mean this: in that moment, you are going to make the decision to do what is right and you're going to stick with it and not waver. Because when people make good decisions to be disciplined and take the right step and then take another step that seems right too and another step that might be right over here, and they start changing things up, everybody around them gets confused and thinks they are fluctuating in their faith and thinks they're fluctuating in their discipline. Be a person who's taking the right step and will consistently take that step over and over and over again. One step at a time. Because when you take one step at a time, you can develop consistency. Consistency is discipline on repeat. If you're going to get Spotify on, pull up that song that you love and put it on repeat, it's going to go over and over and over again in your life. That's consistency. It's a discipline on repeat. It's taking one step at a time over and over and over again, and it's exactly what Jesus did. One step at a time, over and over, doing the same thing in the same situation. When adversity faces you, you consistently do discipline. What you've been disciplined to do is how you will react in the moment. Because training is one step at a time, but endurance is the cumulative effort of all of those steps. Endurance is the cumulative effort of that consistency. One step at a time, and all of a sudden you've endured, and you get to the end, and Jesus looks at your life, and He doesn't just say, well done, good and faithful servant, as some cliche phrase that some Christians use as something that's going to be used at the end. It's not just something that's going to give us some comfort. It's going to be a truth about you. That was never meant to be some falsehood about you. It was always meant to be true of you, because you are that servant. You have been that warrior. You have endured. It's not something that we just throw around for Christians in America that have had a simple life and just really kind of just showed up on Sunday mornings to church. It's those who have faced adversity, who've been tested and tried, who've been tempted in every way by Satan himself, and yet Christ has called them to a higher calling and given them a good work to do, and they have endured in it because they were disciplined and they were consistent. This is us living a whole life of faithfulness and integrity. But I know that that might be intimidating. I know that when you think about that with me right now, you might think, man, I don't know if I'll ever be able to be like the man that I'm supposed to be. You tell me that, like, when it says in Scripture that, you know, we're not going to be quick to anger, I don't know if I'll ever be slow to anger. I don't know if I'll ever, you know, be patient with my kids. Or I don't know if I'll ever love my spouse the right way I'm supposed to love them. I don't know if I can ever become the fruit of the Spirit that Galatians tells us we're going to be. You know, all throughout Scripture, it tells us who we are in Christ and what we're going to be. And you're like, man, I don't know if I can. That can be intimidating, y'all. So no matter where you are, that can be intimidating. But remember this. It seems intimidating. I'm using this because the writer uses this illustration. It seems intimidating to have to run 26 miles. But just take one step at a time. That's what every runner, every endurance athlete would tell you. Don't focus on 50,000 steps you got to take to complete a marathon. Focus on one step. I'm going to take this step and I'm not going to give up. And then I'm going to take one more step and I'm not going to give up. And then I'm going to take one more step and I'm not going to give up. Because when you look at the final product, it can be terrifying. But if you look at the process, you can break it down and take one step at a time. And that's what Jesus did with his disciples. He was with them through the journey. He walked with them. He didn't force them to be perfect in the moment. He walked with them through their imperfections. Now, I'll tell you a fascinating thing about the process of progress. We oftentimes want to be perfect, right? But the antidote to perfectionism is not imperfection, right? But no, it's like you're going to walk around to Christians or to your kids and be like, hey, you're struggling with perfectionism, so just be imperfect. Right? It's not like we'll screw up a little bit. Just do some stupid stuff. Like, it's not how you become not a perfectionist, is to tell somebody, we'll just mess up a lot, right? That's not how we do it. Instead, what we teach people and we try to train people in the mindset is, it's not that you're trying to be perfect, it's that you're in the process of progress. So what I'm trying to get people to shift to is, I don't have to be the final product right now, I just have to be progressing right now. Easy here, because I know you're going to try to do this. I'm not going to perfect the process either. Because a true perfectionist that struggles with this will try to perfect the process. All right, well, if I can't perfect the product, I'm going to perfect the process. Am I doing this right? Am I doing these things perfect? Am I doing all these things? No, you're in a process of progress. You're not in a perfect progress. The process means that I'm okay with Christ chipping away at my life over time. I'm going to be okay with God working on me day by day. And if I haven't reached that final status of enlightened, perfect human being yet, that's okay. Because I am in the process of progress. I'm not a product of perfection. That 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. You see, I am who I am because of Christ. You are who you are because of Christ, not because of us. And so we're relying on Christ to do the work of progress in us. So if you want to endure, have discipline, then knowing what is right, knowing what is wrong, choosing what is right, and taking that step. If you want to endure, have consistency, that is taking that step over and over again. It's one step after another. After 50,000 steps, you get to the marathon and you know you've endured. Your life is the marathon. Relationally, emotionally, volitionally, sexually, spiritually, don't dissect those and separate them. Rather, look at those under the lordship of Christ and say, how do I need to be disciplined in this area? Give me that step, because I'm going to take it every day. And I'm going to be consistent to the next day, to the next day, and to the next day, one step at a time. But the problem with us as human beings is, again, we like to look at the product, not the process, right? So here's what we do. In the church world, we like to say, you guys need to avoid hell. people want me to preach about this all the time. Like, Matt, why don't you preach more about hell? It's mentioned like 50 times in scripture, and it's super important. We should preach about the effect of hell when separation from God is a horrible thing for eternity. Gluttony is used 75 times in scripture, and it's only one sin. But the reason that we don't want to talk about gluttony, but we'd rather talk about hell, is because we don't want to talk about the process. We want to talk about the product. We want to talk about the end, not the process. You see, you're in the process of going through hell on earth, and we're fighting hell on earth. We're not just fighting hell for eternity. We're not just finding heaven for eternity. We're finding heaven on earth. And so now discipline and consistency, what it does is it battles sin every single day. It battles hell every single day because I'm in the process of progress. I'm going to say, I'm going to fight what is right in front of me right now, not just what is at the end. Because if all we ever want is the final product, we're going to be lazy in the process. We see this in our society. It's just like, I want this without doing the work necessary to get it. Look, guys, you ain't going to win an Olympic gold medal by not doing anything. All right? It takes hard, hard work in the Christian life. Why would we think that Christ, who went through being abandoned, being rejected, being bruised and beaten, being thrown onto a cross, Jesus, who endured all of those things and rejected by the people who loved him most, his religious elite and his friends and his family, by being rejected by everybody, how would we think that we won't go through the same process? If we're going to follow him and take up our cross and deny ourselves, won't we go through the same process? So if we're going to go through the same process, then it's not going to be some simple, easy, you know, American believism. We're going to follow after a Savior who endured. So I'm going to endure. That means that, far from just gluttony, if gluttony is hell on earth, so is pride. Pride is hell on earth. Lying is hell on earth. Porn is hell on earth. And I'm going to look at it that way because I know I'm in the process of overcoming the final thing, which is hell. I'm in the process of overcoming that even right now. So endurance is not just escaping hell at the end. Endurance is making the decision every single day to escape hell on earth right now. It's consistency. I'm fighting with every single step that I take. So discipline is one step at a time. Consistency is that step every single time. And grit is consistent discipline in adversity. Grit is consistent discipline in adversity. So I'm not just going to be disciplined, but I'm going to be consistent with that discipline, and I'm going to have grit in it. Grit, if you would, is that determination to do what is right, even when everyone else thinks you're crazy. For example, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. That's the example that the author uses to show us a person who endured with faith. Now, Noah was commanded by God to build an ark. How long did it take? Decades. And during those decades of working on the ark, building board after board, floor after floor, the slow progress of getting the wood and building an ark, what was everybody saying to him? You're crazy. And then after he built the ark and the storm came and the flood came, God saved him and his family through the ark. Because when adversity comes through the journey, but you're faithful board by board, step by step, then when the true storm comes and the flood comes and you're saved and delivered through it, you see that all the adversity through the process was just part of growing you and making you into the person of strength and endurance that can go through the storm and the flood. God is taking you through adversity to strengthen you. As Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions. So think adversity and sufferings. We boast in our afflictions because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. your affliction is producing in you endurance. Don't give up. So if we say we're going to endure, we got to put things in play. Those things that we're going to put in play are discipline, consistency, and grit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to stick with my discipline. So if you're being tested right now, we can think good. It's good I'm being tested. It's good I'm being tried. It's good because I'm being strengthened. I know that I'm not being weakened when I'm being tested. I'm being strengthened because my God is with me and he will not let me fail. He is with me. I'm going to overcome because in John 16:33, it says that Jesus is our overcomer. And in Romans 8, it says that we are more than conquerors. So we're not going to fail. We're going to get through this and we're going to be stronger because of it. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But as one Christian leader who is a Navy SEAL says this, he says it's better to sweat in training than it is to bleed in battle. And the truth of that is we can either sweat in training or we can bleed in battle. That doesn't mean we're not going to be wounded. It doesn't mean it's not going to be difficult. It doesn't mean there's not going to be real life issues that we face. But if we train hard, then we're going to be able to fight the enemy. We're going to face Satan and we're going to work through these battles because you've trained hard. And so I might sweat in training when it comes to relationships. It might be difficult. I may need to grow in something, in kindness, in how I speak the truth in love, in grace and truth with one another, in honesty. You may need to grow in some area and discipline yourself in that area so that relationally you can be better. But it's better than us saying, I'm just going to be lazy and not work on my relationships. I'm going to be lazy and not work on my marriage. No, you're going to be disciplined and you're going to be consistent. I'm going to take one step today to be more honest with my spouse. I'm going to take one step today to be more loving towards my friends. I'm going to take one step and then I'm going to put it on repeat and I'm going to be consistent with this over and over and over for the rest of my life because that will develop endurance through the difficult times. And one day someone will look at you and say, not what you accomplished, but by who you are, you've shown an integrity and a character that's consistent with Christ Jesus. So don't flee. Don't flee from adversity. Don't flee from affliction. Go through it because it's going to develop strength and resiliency for life. And if you're going to endure in life, then you're going to have to follow Christ who endured before us, who showed us the way. I love what Proverbs 24:10 says. It says, if you do nothing in a difficult time, your strength is limited. Brothers and sisters, your strength is not limited and you will do something in a difficult time. You're not going to give up. Just because times are hard, just because times get difficult doesn't mean it's time to back down. We're not going to get lazy in difficult times. So we're going to stand up. So the Spirit's building grit in us, but he's going to do it through adversity. If 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself might not be disqualified. I discipline my body and bring it under strict control. For Paul himself, it was important that he knew that, that discipline in every area of your life was vital to show the world that I can preach this gospel message. That I have not disqualified myself to be able to preach this gospel message. So I'm going to discipline myself in every area of my life so that I can preach in a way that is consistent and will not disqualify me. And brothers and sisters, each one of you has the opportunity to discipline yourself in every area of your life so that when you preach the gospel, the world doesn't look at you and go, how can you preach that? How can you say those things? Because God has transformed my life. And look, I'm not looking at the final product, so you don't have to go, well, because I'm perfect. You know, that whole thing that people used to say, don't put a Christian on a pedestal. Well, brothers and sisters, you're on a pedestal. I used to get frustrated when people said that because I'm like, really? You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're a city on a hill, and you don't want the pedestal? You're on the pedestal. The question is, do you deserve to be there or not? So we're in the training process, but we're not in the final product, and that's okay. It's okay not to be perfect, but you do need to recognize that everybody else has boosted you up there, that everybody else is expecting you to be who you say you are, and the person you are is the person in Christ. And you may say, well, Matt, I'm not perfect right now, and I'm like, that's okay, but it doesn't mean you can give up. You may say, man, I'm just still struggling with anger. Okay, what's your one step? Man, I'm just stuck. I can't stop looking at porn. Okay, but what's your next step? What's your next step? Now put it consistently in your life. Have the grit to go through it. All right, so let me give you an example of this. I want to show you a person who just embodied this from Scripture. His name's Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel determined that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine he drank. So he asked permission from this chief eunuch not to defile himself. There's the discipline. He knows what is, he looks at what is right and what is wrong. He knows that all the other people were overindulging in food and in drink. They were overindulging. That was their sin. So he decides that he's not going to overindulge. He's going to eat appropriately and drink appropriately. He's going to take what is right for him. So he chooses what is good and he takes one step in that direction. Not only is he disciplined to take that one step, but he does it consistently. Let me show you how. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit. There's one, an extraordinary spirit. So the king planned to set him over the whole realm. Administrators and satraps, therefore, kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom. But they could not find a charge or corruption, for he was trustworthy and no negligence or corruption was found in him. When then these men said, "We will never find any charge against this Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God." So what they're going to try to do is, because they see consistency and because they see a discipline in his life, they're going to try to find something in him that is not consistent and disciplined. Well, they can't do it. So they throw in something and basically they try to trick the king into hating Daniel. They have to go in extraordinary ways to find a way to go against Daniel, because Daniel had an extraordinary spirit. And because they could not find corruption in him, we introduce adversity. All right. So the consistency was that the spirit was working in him so that he consistently did the discipline over and over and over. They could not find a charge or corruption in him. So here comes adversity. Here's where grit has to step in. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. So the king gave the order and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you continually serve, rescue you." May your God, whom you continually serve. There's consistency in the face of adversity. Because most of us would say one of the most, affliction, suffering, adversity-oriented things we could ever experience would be thrown into a hungry lion's den, right? Here's Daniel thrown into a lion's den to be eaten and mauled. And in the midst of it, he is consistent to his God. And that's what they recognized in him. It was, he is a consistent man of discipline. So he has grit in the face of these lions. He does not back down. Does Daniel give up his God? Does Daniel stop worshiping his God? No. Does Daniel do what the world wants him to do? No. He stays faithful because he's got grit in the midst of adversity. Daniel chapter 6, verse 20. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel. This is the king. Y'all think about this emotion right here. The king runs up to the lion's den. And he says this. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel. "Daniel, servant of the living God," the king said, "has your God, whom you continually serve, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And we know the story. God rescues Daniel from the lions. Now, the king sees that the God of this universe saves Daniel, who was consistently worshiping God and not doing what the world wanted him to do. And so the king gives worship to our Lord God. You see, that's how you transform the city. Daniel didn't go to the king and tell him how he should do things different. Daniel wasn't going up against the king and trying to overthrow him. Daniel was worshiping his Savior and was disciplined, consistent, and had grit in the midst of adversity. And everybody else saw it. They saw he had character and he was true. They saw that he was true in the face of adversity, and they gave glory to God because of it. May your lives seated on with Christ in the heavenly places, recognized by the world as the salt of the earth, as the city on a hill, as the light of the world, may your lives match up to who God has created you to be in Christ Jesus for the foundation of this world. Holy and pleasing in his sight. May he raise you up to be who you are. So who do you want to be remembered at 80 years old, 90 years old, 100 years old? Whenever you're nearing those days of your life when you believe that your life has come to an end and you're headed to eternity with heaven, in heaven with God, who do you want to be remembered as? Do you want to be remembered as someone who has a family that's faithful to Christ? Do you want to be remembered as somebody who is financially debt-free? Do you want to be remembered as somebody who is viewed as giving to others or viewed as kind to all people? When you die, what do you want me people to remember you as? And whatever that is, here's what I want you to do for a moment. Because I want to make this really practical. I want you to think through, what does Christ want you to be? Not just what do you want to be. What does Christ want you to be in those last days of your life remembered as? As you step into eternity, people are going to say, you are so. What do you believe that Christ wants you to be? And today, what I want you to do is I want you to think through what would be one step towards that. So you may say, and there's a picture of this that's going to be on the screen. You may say, I want to be joyful. I just want to be a person that was known to be extremely joyful. If that's too small, we're going to print it out. We're going to email it out because somebody's already asked that, all right? If you want to be a person who is joyful, you may say, well, I want to give thanks for the life that I have. I want to enjoy the life that I have. I don't want to enjoy somebody else's life. I don't want to try to live somebody else's life. I don't want to desire somebody else's life. I just want to enjoy the life that I have. And I'm going to look at whether I'm having joy or pleasure. If it's pleasure from Satan or if it's true joy that comes from Christ and pleasure in Christ. I want to look at those things and say, I want to run into the joy, not run into the pleasure of this world. So maybe it's just a step towards that. I'm going to give thanks for the life that I have. I know maybe you have a hard life. Maybe it's difficult. I want you to look at what God has given you in the midst of that hard life, and I want you to take a step in the direction of thanks for that. Because remember, in the midst of our affliction, in the midst of adversity, that's where we're strengthened. So we're going to take a step of joy in the midst of adversity and not let Satan win. Because Satan wants you to be miserable in your adversity. God wants you to be joyful in your adversity. Not because he enjoys that you go through adversity, but because he knows you're going to go through adversity. So it might as well be joyful in the midst of that adversity, just like his son, Jesus Christ, who took the cross so that you could have joy in the midst of adversity. Maybe you say, I want to be loving. So you're going to care for people. You're going to seek good for others, the good for others, not just for yourself, right? You're going to give more than you receive. You're going to listen well to others, and you're going to speak the truth in love. I'm going to genuinely listen to others, and then I'm going to give back love through my words, speaking the truth in love, not just love and not just truth, but the truth in love. I'm going to learn these things. So I need to take one step towards how do I speak the truth in love. I'm going to take one step towards how do I care well for people. And that's going to be my discipline over my life. Now, I want you to look at these categories in your life. Maybe you don't like doing this. Maybe you just like need real practical stuff. You're like, I'm not going to journal. I'm not going to write things. Okay, if you're there, here's my first thing for you. Consider discipline. Really consider discipline, because you might say, I don't like to do those things, but discipline might say you should do those things. Okay, so at least first consider that. But if you're not in that headspace, get somebody around that you can at least discuss this with. All right, just at least discuss this with somebody. DCG up here, what that stands for is discipline, consistency, and grit. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to know down. And then it's super practical. I hope, again, this is not like the Bible says to do this step by step, okay? I'm just trying to help you practically with, if I say you should endure, how to do this biblically, okay? So if we're going to endure biblically, we're going to take steps like Jesus did, okay? So discipline, I'm going to say, okay, I need to, if I'm going to give thanks for life, I'm going to start a journal that's just geared towards thanks. And when I wake up every day, I'm going to thank God in that journal, specifically in that journal, because I know half of you don't like to journal. That's okay, because most men don't. That's okay, but we're going to discipline ourselves. So we're going to take a step, discipline step, of thanking God for everything that I have in my life, not for what I don't have. And I'm going to do that consistently every morning. And then at night, I'm going to read it again. That's just a discipline step, okay? Now, I'm going to consistently do that day after day after day after day after day. And then eventually, hopefully in your life, you're going to build up that endurance of, when I face a difficult thing, I'm going to go, I'm enjoying my life in Christ and what he has given me. And I'm not going to be thrown off by what Satan's trying to attack me with. Okay? So we're developing the endurance of joy. Now, we're going to break each one of those down and look at this discipline, consistency, and grit. Because here's what I know, too. If you develop that discipline and consistency, I know Satan's going to try to attack you and throw off that step. Satan's going to try to attack you and throw off that step. You're going to be walking in it, and then all of a sudden, Satan's going to go, okay, that person is showing some discipline. That person is following after Christ's footsteps. That person's walking in the Spirit. Now I'm going to try to attack him. but you're not gonna back down because you have grit. You have determined. Did y'all notice what Daniel did? It says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel determined. Now, the word determine is not just I think it'd be right. I think it'd be okay. We could make this decision if we want to. Determined is I have chosen to do something and I'm going to do it. And nobody's going to get in my way because I'm going to fall after Jesus. And if that means being thrown into the lion's den, so be it. It was from the beginning that Daniel was ready for the lion's den. He was ready for the lion's den when he made the decision. I've determined that I'm going to do this and I'm not going to back down. I love what one of our young adult couples said last week, and they shared publicly. They said, I've made the decision, that couple made the decision that they were not going to have sex before marriage because they had determined that they were going to do that. They stuck with that. That was their decision. That's a determining to do what is right in the face of a world that is trying to lead you astray. They determine to do what is good. Brothers and sisters, determining what is good happens in the beginning in verse 8. And then in chapter 6, he's thrown in the lion's den. You're going to be thrown in the lion's den. The question is, what are you going to do right now? Are you going to determine to do what is disciplined, what is consistent, and what is grit? So as the band comes forward, I want to tell you about one more person who had discipline, consistency, and grit. Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness after not eating for 40 days. He was tested by the religious elite, the ones who knew the Bible forward and backward. He was tested by them consistently. They tried to kill him multiple times. He was abandoned by his family and by his friends. He was traveling through the wilderness of Israel, where it's literally barren and animals. There's not a lot of water. There's not a lot of trees, and there's not a lot of vegetation. Jesus was traveling through that. Jesus was at one point near to Jerusalem in a garden talking with his father, and he knew that the cross was coming. And in every single one of those situations, Jesus took one more step forward in faithfulness. One more step of faithfulness towards what he knew would be the cross. And ultimately, he faced the greatest adversity that we could ever face. He had faced the rejection of his father. He faced the sin of man on his shoulders. He faced adversity on the cross so that we could have freedom and forgiveness. So I challenge you to take up your cross. In Hebrews 12:2, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know how the cross becomes joy? Because when Satan tempted him, he took one step forward in faithfulness. And because when the religious elite tested him, he took one more step forward in faithfulness. And every single time he found his father to be greater. Brothers and sisters, if you want the cross to become joyful to you in your life, and if you want to overcome adversity, it's going to be because every step of the way you find that your Savior is better. Through every trial and tribulation, you're going to be faithful. And you're going to find that in everyone, he is good and he is greater. So may the gospel of Jesus Christ transform you in your lives to ask the question, what step do I need to take forward in discipline? Who do I need to surround myself with for consistency? And what adversity is headed my way that I need to prepare for? How right now can I prepare for the lion at the end that's coming and determined to do what is right? Let me pray for you. Father, your son Jesus Christ gave up his life so that I might have freedom and forgiveness. I pray right now in this moment, if there's anybody in this room who's never placed their faith in you, that they would right now, that they would determine to do what is good for the rest of their life by taking one step in the right direction towards faithfulness. Faith in you, Jesus. Father, we need you. We need your spirit to work through us. We can't do this without you. We will work hard because you've called us not to be lazy. We We will not give up in difficult times because we're not going to be weak. So God, we need you to strengthen us for discipline, consistency, and grit to bring you glory and honor. We love you, God, in your son's name. Amen.
You have any questions about the sermon or would like to know more about following after Jesus, please contact us and we would love to talk more about your relationship with Christ and how you can grow in your spiritual journey.